Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Hello, welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. I'm here with Lindsay Bell. Lindsay Bell is a beautiful yogini. I'm so grateful to have you on the show. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. I'm super happy to be here.
Okay, so just give us a little mini intro to who you are.
Who I am? That's always the hardest question.
Who are you
question.
As a human? I asked someone on another episode and she's like, who am I? Like as a human or what are you asking?
What do you mean? I guess as a human, I would just like to classify myself as like an ongoing yogi. I love to travel and an outdoor enthusiast, really. Mm-hmm. I guess if I had to summarize myself, it would be travel, yoga, food, and outdoor adventures, really.
This is absolutely everything I want to talk to you about, too, because awesome. You are you're a traveler. You love to travel. When was the first time you left the country?
So the first time I left the country was when I was, well, pretty young. My mom's always raised me traveling, which has always been really cool. So, I mean, the first time I really genuinely left the country probably was around age... nine. Honestly, I think we went to China when I was nine because I had always grown up thinking I was Chinese. That's another long story, but my mom wanted to show me my culture or part of my culture.
Wait. Why are you Chinese?
No. So my mom's dad, her supposed dad, was full Chinese.
Okay.
And so I thought, you know, I was at least a fourth Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Later in life, about 3 years ago, we both ended up taking ancestry DNA tests and had no Asian in us whatsoever. All of her sisters did. So we came to find out that that's not a real dad. But both of her parents have passed away. So we really couldn't get any information on that.
Your mom grew up thinking her father was her father.
Yes.
And then found out that he was not her blood father.
Correct. And she was the only one in the family with that because most of her siblings besides
is she
like
the
one,
oldest?
No, she's the youngest.
Did she talk to mom? Mom's not around.
Mom's not around. Mom passed away when she was about 22.
Is she adopted?
No.
Do her siblings know?
Yeah. I mean, well, they didn't know. They didn't know. This was a big shock to all of us. So it was kind of crazy. It was pretty wild. But I mean, we still got to check out China because I have the little almond eyes. And so I was like, heck yeah, I'm Chinese. Like totally. Always told my friends and they were like, yes, you're definitely Chinese.
Okay.
So yeah, that was that. We checked out China for like 2 weeks. Super amazing.
Did you go with your other family members who are Chinese?
So yeah, we went with my supposed grandpa and then my mom.
Okay.
And that's what we did. We met him. I think we met him out there though. And then he ended up leaving early, so it just ended up being me and my mom for the most part. But yeah.
Interesting. So I have a really similar story in my family. So my mom kind of always told me that there was a family secret. And the secret was that her father, who is the youngest of his family, the secret was that his mom had an affair. And so he was never truly accepted by his father because they believed that he was from the affair that she had. Oh, goodness. And this was during the Depression. And it was very common practice to just drop the kids off at the orphanage and then pick them up when they had money again because they couldn't take care of them.
Oh my goodness.
So he'd been kind of in and out of the orphanage since he was 6 months old. And he always, you know, he wasn't really one of the brothers. This is according to my mom. And this we're from Boise, Idaho. And so the children's home on Warm Springs was actually the orphanage that my grandpa lived at. And so he apparently had ran away when he was in third grade and found his much older brothers and they reconnected and all that. But So she believed that her grandmother had had an affair with a man who was Blackfoot Indian from Blackfoot, Idaho, something wow. like that. So she always believed that there was some Native American in us. So I always grew up believing this, like, oh, I'm really Native Idaho. And like, I love Idaho and I do love Idaho, but I was like, I really love Idaho and I love to be barefoot. I don't know anything about the culture. I'm a terrible white person, actually, in reality. So my mom, like, always kind of believed this, and our last name is Braun,
right.
Which she believed was her adopted grandfather's name because he adopted his son from the illegitimate affair, like this whole story.
Wow.
And so I always never really felt like Braun was my name. So she gets, I give her for Christmas the okay. DNA test. Turns out, no Native American. He is the legitimate child. Even
oh
so,
my
she
God.
Had the affair, and he wasn't from the affair. His dad really was his dad. But of course, they're all passed away now, and they could never have this moment where it's like, shit.
What's going on?
Right. Yeah. And so they didn't prove that back then. So my mom was like, oh my gosh, Braun is our name. My father isn't an illegitimate child from an affair.
Gosh.
And now my whole life thinking like, I don't know anything about my actual background. So I feel like I need to get the 23andMe test done.
Yes, they're actually really cool. And like, I don't really care because it always connects you with like known family members or something like that. And mm-hmm. I'm not super interested in that. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's cool, I guess, but I just love seeing where you're from. And I'm like pure European, spread out all over Europe.
Yeah.
I think I'm like Swedish and Scottish.
So not Chinese.
Not 1 ounce of Chinese. Not even like the tiny little 1%.
It turns out we're French. And oh, I don't know how they can prove this, but my mom says that we are related to Marie Antoinette, who was a queen.
Oh my gosh.
Around the wartime, who said let them eat cake, but she didn't really say that. But I don't know. I obviously don't know anything. I'm American. I don't know anything about anything.
It's okay. As long as you got a cool story to tell, I mean, it's worth it. That's amazing.
I did have a long lost relative reach out to me recently on Instagram, and that's like a whole other thing that I'm figuring out right now. But
really?
Yeah.
Are they like trying to meet up and hang out?
Kinda.
See, that's the weird part to me. That's why I'm like, nah, keep your distance. Like, I haven't known you my whole life. I'm grown up now. Like, I don't know why I don't have any interest in meeting.
Well, I feel like I'd be entertaining their curiosity, and they might bring up some weird stuff. And I'm like, why do I need to do this for you?
Exactly.
And I'm like, okay, well, what would this do for me? I'm like, it would save me $100 on the DNA test.
That's true. That's very true. That would work out perfect. Exactly.
We'll see how that goes. Okay, so you're... first trip was to China.
Yeah, amazing. Such like a culture shock when I was so young. We'd always traveled the States, but that was my big first out of the country. And I loved it because I was naturally blonde, like super blonde back then. And so every person from China would come up and like pull my hair and want to take like pictures. Like I was some like god out there. It was crazy. And being 9 years old and a celebrity in this crazy country, I felt so cool. And everyone's like, hold my baby, take a picture with my baby.
Wow.
And it was amazing. So that's when I feel like I fell in love with traveling. And then when I turned 13, my mom signed me up for an ambassador program, which don't ask me what that is. I have no idea what the whole goal of that whole thing was, but it was called People to People. And we went to Europe. It was this big group from the Northwest. So people from Montana, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. And it was a group of, I think it was like, I want to say 15 to 20 of us.
Okay.
And we went with these older folks and we went to London, Paris, and Belgium. And I think that was 2 weeks as well. So it was without my mom. And I remember being like so terrified, but it was really cool. I really enjoyed that. It was kind of crazy because we had to follow a certain dress code. And
what was the dress code?
You know, we had to wear shirts. We couldn't show our shoulders, and the shorts had to be down to our fingertips.
You didn't have to wear uniforms. You just had a
little there were dress some code. Nights we had to wear a uniform. So some days we had to wear the People to People shirt that was this like disgusting maroon button up. And I was just not about it. Like, I feel like since I've been a kid, I've been a free spirit. And I'm like, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to wear. And having to do all that, I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. I want to be free and do my own thing.
What's that other program? Because I did one. It was through school. My brothers did it, and I was a chaperone.
Oh.
And it was...
And it was international?
Yeah. So you... It's the idea of the program is to let kids travel and to show them how easy it is to travel. So that when they get older, they don't have to do a group thing. They know...
Just go.
They learn... you know, how to travel internationally.
Right.
And so their first experience will be through a group of kids from their school with their teachers, and a couple of parents or sisters right. can chaperone, and they have the whole thing scheduled for you. So they already have the hotel set up. They have a tour guide who'll come with you the whole time when you go to multiple countries.
Right.
And I can't, the name is totally escaping me. If anyone's listening to this, they're probably like yelling it or
they're
something.
Like, we know what it is.
We know what it is. But I have like a couple backpacks that they give you.
That is so cool.
We went to Ireland, Wales. I waved at Prince Charles and Camille once. I saw them drive by.
Wow. You had a good experience. Wow.
Went to, I think I said London and Paris, France with my brother Christian. And then with my younger brother, Jared, he and I went to Costa Rica.
Wow.
And that was like a more active one where we went like sea kayak or lake kayaking and rafting. And
so you had all these like cool, crazy experiences out there as well.
When I was in my like really early 20s, like late teens with my younger brother. So it was really cool that my parents had set that up because now I'm into traveling now. So I feel like that was a really good sneak peek into how easy it can be to travel.
Absolutely. I feel like once you get started young and kind of get to see and get to do, mm-hmm. especially without your parents, it's just mm-hmm. such an eye opener and being like, okay, cool. This could be part of my life, which is awesome. So yeah, that was an interesting one. And then I had the option to really go to college or go travel. Mm-hmm. And I've never been big into school.
Okay.
Ever. I've never done great. I feel like I have like some sort of ADHD or something like that.
Okay.
And so my mom's like, well, if you really don't want to go, you can go learn in a different way. And I had a little bit of a college savings, so she gave me the ultimatum. And I ended up taking a trip to Indonesia or Southeast Asia and doing another volunteer program called IVHQ. Don't know what that stands for. Totally forgot. But I went out there and I taught English to the Indonesian children.
Aww.
For I was going to do 4 weeks, but then I ended up meeting a girl out there and she convinced me to change to the turtle program the last week. So I did 3 weeks teaching English and then the last week at a turtle conservation.
What did you do with the turtle conservation?
We cleaned their shells. We saved them from like little things on the beach that weren't good, like little like things when they get stuck in the trash because Indonesia is super polluted and dangerous. So they'd build their nests in like piles of trash, which is really sad.
So
help them out.
You guys would just go on these beaches and look for turtles and see if they need assistance.
Yes, and unsafe situations, or if one was injured, they'd rehabilitate them and bring them back. And then they just have this huge pen and they take in any animals. Like I remember me and my friend, we went out on a walk and we found like a stranded kitten that looked like so malnourished and not well. We brought it back and they were like, yeah, bring her in. Like they took every animal and they were just the sweetest ladies. And it was really sad because we saw a lot of baby turtles like pass away, which was really unfortunate. But yeah, we got to clean the shells. We got to feed them. We cleaned their tanks. It was a really small town called Nusa Penida. And it was tiny, tiny, tiny.
Okay, what was the famous thing that happened in Nusa Penida that everyone wants to go there? Wasn't it in like Lord of the Rings or something?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
I can't remember. It was in like a famous movie.
Interesting. I feel like a lot of Southeast Asia is in movies. Apparently there's an island in Thailand that Leonardo DiCaprio was on and they literally have closed the island off because too many people want to visit. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot going on out there.
Some friends from a yoga training I did in Bali all took a trip to Nusa Penida to do it for the gram or just see this amazing place. I was in the movie somewhere. And I chose not to go because I feel like it just sounded like a lot and I wanted to settle in a bit.
Absolutely.
And when they got back, I'm like, how was it, guys? And they're all like, stay away. We've been locked in this van for hours on a bumpy road and we're all car sick and sick of each other.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I remember when I went out there, I was like, this place is so untouched and quiet. Like the roads were bumpy. I remember that. But I felt like it was one straight road and you had beach on one side and just like a few houses on the other.
I was under the impression it was a little bit touristy.
Interesting. Maybe it was just the place I was staying and I didn't see the touristiness of it.
Day and time, location. I don't know.
It was, yeah, interesting. I'm sure there must have been a whole nother side of like.
Or it looks like a dinosaur from the top. Maybe that's why it's famous.
Could be. I just remember it being a really tiny island and I was like, this is cool. This is very like excluded.
That's so cool. So how long did you end up staying in Indonesia.
Yeah, I was going to stay only a month. That was as long as my travel plans were. And yeah, it was my first time really, really traveling by myself, you know, going out.
Without a program.
Without a program, without a parent, without friends, like whatever. Mm. So I was only planning a month. And then, of course, I met all these people at this volunteer program that were like, oh, my gosh, no, you have to go to Thailand. You have to check out Thailand. It's like $30 to fly from here to there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was working at Dutch Bros, you know, a coffee shop.
How old were you at this time?
I was 18.
Okay.
I think I had just turned 18.
Amazing age.
Just turned 18. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I don't really have any obligations back at home. You know, I just graduated high school.
What's your sign?
I'm a Libra.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your moon sign?
My moon sign is a Scorpio.
Okay.
My rising is a Cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So cool.
Got a lot going on.
You
but,
do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you're like, did you go by yourself or with some friends?
So that's what freaked me out is everyone's like, stay in these hostels. Do like, cause I was like, where am I going to stay? Like, I don't have this program. I don't have this structure. I don't know what to do.
I don't speak the language.
Yeah, I didn't know anything. I was just this clueless girl that was like, yeah, volunteer program. And yeah, everyone's like, you know, there's hostels that you can stay in for like $3 to $5 a night. If you want a nice place, it's like 15 a night. And so I was like, okay. So everyone told me, you know, get the app Hostel World, look at this app, check it all out. And these hostels actually looked pretty cool. You know, some of them had a pool. Some of them had this crazy bar. Some of them, the reviews said like party hostel, like you come here to party and get crazy. Some of them are more like tranquilo and whatever. Okay. So I ended up booking a hostel, booking the flight. And I told my mom, you know, I'm going to stay out here longer. I had no idea how long I was going to stay out there. I flew to Thailand. Phuket is where I flew into.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely hated the city. And then it was just too much, like way too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, no, go check out the islands. So I eventually made my way out to the islands. I'd stayed like a night in Phuket in a hostel. Didn't really meet anybody. So I was like, okay, this is interesting.
Oh my God, I'd be terrified.
I was, because it was this huge city, like hustle and bustle, just craziness everywhere.
Yeah.
Like the markets were cool. Street food was awesome. But I was like, I need to get out. So I went to this more beachy town. I can't remember the name of it to save my life. But checked that out and loved it. Fell in love. It was a crazy party hostel I stayed at, of course.
You were 18.
I was 18. I was living. Drinking age was also 18. So I was like, we're getting wild out here. Like, we're doing it. And so, yeah, I fell in love with it. And
your mom's just like, go have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's What's like, her sign?
She's also a Libra.
Okay.
Yeah, so... She's very flowy. She's like Aquarius moon and I think Gemini rising.
Mm.
So she's also a little wild one. But
she supports the free lifestyle.
And she did it when she was young. So she's like, great. Go.
Very
like,
supportive.
Yeah. And of course she missed me, but she was like, go, do it. And yeah, I ended up loving it. And I would follow or listen to these people that would give me the recommendations on where to go next. Mm-hmm. And I ended up doing my diving training out there.
Cool.
In a island called Koh Tao, which was the most beautiful, beautiful island ever. Coffee shops were awesome. Beach was right there. So I stayed, I think, 3 weeks out there, did my diving training, and then got my advanced diving out there. Super cheap. And then Thailand was a month. I ended up staying Thailand for an entire month. And then everyone's like, but wait, you have to go check out, like, Vietnam and Laos. And at this point, I was like, okay, like, can I do this? Like, this is my very first trip, and that would, I don't know if I can do this, like, much longer. But I ended up doing it. I did 2 weeks in Vietnam and 2 weeks in Laos.
Well, what's happening to your bank account?
Yeah, it's going crazy. I'm spending. I am blowing through this money. Like, no limits, no restrictions. I'm just spending because I've never traveled. So
and your
I'm,
mom had a little bit of a college fund for you. So yeah, here we go.
Yeah, here we go was right. And like she'd keep control on it. And I'd like call her and be like, okay, just a little bit more. But it was really cheap out there.
Yeah.
I have to say. So like blowing through money, it wasn't as bad as it would be like in America or, a first world country.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I blew through a lot of it, but the experiences out there were crazy and amazing. And it was definitely a big party trip, but I met some amazing people that I still keep in touch with today. And it was amazing. I rented a scooter and that's basically how I got around everywhere.
How fun.
Yeah.
I want to know when you got into yoga.
So when did I get into yoga? I think it was as soon as I got back from that trip or right before. It was right before I think I was leaving. Someone was like, you should really check out hot yoga.
Mm.
Kylie Newman, actually. You know Kylie Newman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was the one that was like, you should come to hot yoga with me. shout out to Kylie. She's ever listening to this. Yeah. but she was like, you should check it out. And so I think I might have come back from that trip and I was like, okay, I'm ready to try this. And I went to Halo. Mm-hmm. And that was my very first time. And I think it was also when I was 18. Coming back, I started my very first hot yoga sesh.
How old are you now?
I am 23. I'll be 24
this year. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been a good few years.
Yes.
But yeah, that was my first time. And I never was into like, quote unquote, normal yoga. My mom would always do it at the YMCA when mm-hmm. I was young. And I remember just being that annoying kid that would like be in class with her, but just bouncing around on one of those exercise balls. I'm sure everybody hated me. Like I look back on that and I was like, oh my God, what was I doing?
I think that's cool. Your mom would just bring you.
I know. She wouldn't even like put me in like, you know, the kid center or anything like that. But I think she wanted me to try it.
Okay.
But I never did. I didn't like the normal unheated yoga. And then I tried hot yoga and I died. But I fell in love because I was like, wow, that really pushed me to my freaking limits there.
The intensity was attractive.
Yes. And my teacher was a really intense person. She actually kind of like veered me away that very first time. Because I remember she didn't want me to take a break. She didn't want me to sit down. She didn't want me to drink water. It was really intense.
Sounds like classic hot yoga.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if she was just like, I don't know if you can do it. I don't know. There was only one time I took a class from her and that was it. But yeah.
Huh.
Besides that, Halo was awesome. And I kept going back and I loved it.
I'm curious now who that teacher was.
I know you always say that. You always say that. I can never remember her name though. I remember what she looks like. I just can't remember her name. But yeah. And then
but you weren't scared off.
No.
Even though this teacher had like a military style.
She really
did. She was like there was a water break. You just couldn't take the water at the water break or only at the water
break? Only at the water break. Like I remember I wanted to just take a break. Like, sit down. And I remember mm-hmm. her looking directly at me, and she goes, don't sit down, stand up.
Oh, my God.
Don't take a break. You got this. And it wasn't even almost encouraging. I don't even think she said, you got this. It was more just like, don't sit down, stand up. Like, it's not good. Like, you need to keep your heart rate going. And I was, like, dying.
I had a Bikram yoga teacher, like, stand over me while I'm dying on the mat and be like, get up, no. You can do it, Christina, because I had to write my name on that piece of paper. And I was like, I can't, I promise you I can't. That's really crazy to me. What was I going to say? Anyway, military yoga style.
It was crazy.
And you're like, well, let's try that again.
Yeah, I loved it. But I think I finished out, because I think I just right off the bat, I purchased a month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I did. Or maybe it was the 2-week trial or something like that. But I think I really committed to something. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, that was back in the day where you could split between the two yoga studios.
Oh, there was a sister studio you could go to. Okay.
So I ended up checking out Hollywood, even though it was way out in downtown Boise. And that's where I really fell in love. Like, I loved that studio. I loved the entire vibe of it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the heat was a lot better at Hollywood. I think the balance between the humidity and the heat.
It's a little bit different. It's so mm-hmm. it's so wonderful when you find your yoga home. Recently, some people have been coming into the studio who have just moved here. And they're like, I miss my yoga home. And I'm just trying to find a new studio. So I'm just going to check you out. And I'm like, okay, like, I know how that feels. I'm really sorry for you.
It's so crazy, though, because I feel like mm-hmm. finding a yoga studio that you love is like finding your soulmate in life. Like, you just know it.
It's like dating.
It is. You really walk in and you know it. Like, something in your soul is like, yes, this is where I belong.
This is my yoga home. Yes. And some people walk in and they're like, I found my yoga home. It reminds me of my home studio. Or yep. they say, like, this isn't it. I'll see you later. Yep. Or not. I was going to bring up, there's this video on YouTube called The Passive Yoga Teacher, and there's a scene where the yoga teacher is in the middle of a pose and she looks over and she's like, I can see that you're stopping to take a drink of water right now because you're trying to create an escape from the posture, and I see you, just so you know. And it goes back to teaching it. And that's what you reminded me of when you said the teacher was like, don't drink water.
Oh, my God. Just straight call out. Yeah, that's really how it felt.
Well, now that you're a yoga teacher, like, what do you feel now that you're on the other side of that?
Oh, I don't care. I feel like I am a little too nice. Like, I'm always just like, you know what, take any amount of water breaks that you need. Like, whatever you want to do. If you need breaks, take a break. I also laughed when you called me out in class the other day, too.
What did I do?
We were in something, and I think you were like, don't reach forward. And I reach forward, and you literally stop class, and you go, what are you guys doing? And I remember all three of us just, like, turned around all embarrassed, like, the most full class, too, and I was like, it's
there's
fine.
There's this thing, like, when you yawn, someone else will yawn.
Yes.
And so the power of suggestion is huge. And I kept noticing that side of the room was... It was messing me up as a teacher and trying to make me rush ahead. And so I was like, I'm just going to stop for a moment and see what happens. And then I could have handled it in a classier way, but we were in Warrior 2.
Hilarious.
And the next pose was Reverse Warrior and everyone knew it. And so they started going ahead. I'm like, but we're not there yet. What are you doing? So I had a little moment where I freaked out.
That was hilarious.
My Virgo was just showing up as a teacher. But some teachers are really like militant, old school style. And some teachers are like, free-for-all style. I posted this on our Instagram page because I felt so called out and I thought it was really important to hear. Oh, did I lose it? Oh, wait. Which one is it on? It was basically like, if you're upset that not everyone else is as mentally, intellectually, and spiritually like as high as you are and you're upset by that, then you're not as far along as you think you are.
Oh my gosh. That was actually one of the lessons I learned from my past travel. It's because the place I went, it's this, you know, this little town, San Marcos in Guatemala. It's this little spiritual hub. And it's amazing, but it's filled with Americans, but they're all very spiritual and connected. And I loved it, don't get me wrong. But then there were these people that thought they were way up at the top. Like, their ego was, like, shouting. But they just didn't, they wanted to judge everybody else, but be like, you know, I've already healed. I've already done all this work. But I was like, no. Like, what you're doing and what you're projecting is showing me that you really aren't as far along as you think you are.
Self-righteousness.
It was like...
Grosses me out.
It grossed me out too, because it was like in that town, it was like almost weird to be having a beer. Like, people would look at you weird if you're sitting at the bar. There was one bar, one restaurant bar. And you know, if you were sitting there having a beer and one of those people walked by, it's like, oh, I don't use...
So low vibrational.
Yes. Really lowering your vibration. And it's like, you know, I almost feel like sitting with a homeless man and chatting with him and almost having a beer with him is more spiritual than, you know, judging other people and, you know, being like, oh, I'm so high up and I'm so, you know, healed and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just like people just get so misled sometimes.
That happens a lot in yoga.
Yeah.
I feel like besides the moment you just called me out for calling my class out, normally I like people to feel it out. And I think I say that a lot in my yoga classes. Some teachers just have that thing that they always say. And I'm always like, feel it out. I want you to explore. I want you to feel it out. Here's some free time. And that's something that I really like. But I don't know. Sometimes I get caught up in the, why are you rushing ahead? I didn't
totally
say that.
It.
And so then I have my own ego and control issues that start to peak up sometimes.
I love that though, because it reminds me like, okay, slow down. Like, why do you just expect that, you know, Reverse Warrior? What if she wanted to totally switch it up? Like, slow down. But like you said, you know, you see monkey do sometimes. You see people in front of you.
And then it all happens. There's in the hot hour class, and there's a lot of hot yoga classes that do standing bow. And we know, like, when you pick up your foot, you lift your arm up. But I didn't say lift your arm up, and now everyone's arm's up, and I haven't even gotten to the cue yet. So it's like, why am I even cueing?
Yep. That's why I don't want to teach hot hour.
Yes. We talked about this.
Yep.
Oh, my.
Because also, it totally makes a difference how many people you have in class. Like, I think my maximum that I've taught so far is probably, like, 6 people.
Okay.
And, of course, it's going to make a difference if there's 6 people versus 2 people. And I don't know. If there's 6 people, I want them kind of listening. If there's 2 people, like, okay, you know what? Do what you want. There's 2 of us here.
What if there's 20? You haven't been there yet.
I haven't been there yet. I would like that a little more. I don't know. I get where you get a little strict. Because then, like you said, people are just going to watch each other, and then it's just going to be one whole classroom of people watching each other. And
it's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all, and it's a little scary.
Why is the teacher here?
Exactly, because then they all just watch each other. They don't even watch the teacher at that point.
Oh,
or listen.
My gosh. What was your first, like paid teaching class?
My first paid teaching class. It was right after I graduated, actually. So... I graduated, what was it, August?
Yoga 2020? Teacher training?
Yeah.
Okay.
Graduated then, and then I met this girl through a mutual friend, and my mutual friend was like, oh my gosh, I know this girl who's opening a yoga studio, and she's going to need teachers. And I'm like freaking out mentally. I'm like, you know, in the moment, I'm like, heck yes, let's do this.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she's like, okay, you're hired. Come teach a class. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for this. But it was super awesome. It was actually a really tiny studio in Kuna, which was a bit of a drive. But I was like, it's good to dip my toes in the water. Mm-hmm. Me and the owner really hit it off. And so I went to her tiny studio in Kuna. And it maybe held 4 people max.
Wow.
So tiny. So freaking tiny. But... I went there and I taught a few classes and I loved it. It was really nice and I loved the small community aspect of it. And
Are you still teaching there now that you're back from your last trip?
Yes, I've dipped my toes a little bit back in there. She has progressed into a bigger studio now.
What's the name of the studio?
It's called Oasis.
Oasis in Kuna.
Yes, it's okay, a hot yoga studio. It's super cute and it's amazing. Still a really small community, but I still love it, which is really nice. There's more space to roam around and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that was my first. I'm still teaching there now that I'm back. I taught a little bit in Guatemala, which was really nice. It was at a bouldering gym.
Okay.
Which is so random, but it was also a tiny little space, which was so interesting to me that I just somehow gravitate to these tiny spaces to teach yoga.
If someone wants to teach yoga abroad, what's your first tip?
My first tip. Wow. I just say, put yourself out there really, because a lot of people, I don't know. Cause when I went out there, I was like, oh, there's no way I'd be able to teach yoga out here. This place is saturated in yoga teachers. Mm-hmm. And, I just say, really put yourself out there. Cause when you put yourself out there, most people are going to need someone.
Well, would you say call, like you say you want to take a trip, but you want to make sure you have a teaching job lined up. Is that unrealistic? Should you go out there and then look around?
I recommend that. That's how my personality kind of rolls, just because I've had some experiences, not with teaching yoga, but volunteering somewhere. And I'll book and be like, yes, I want to come volunteer. I want to come work for you. And then I get out there and my expectations are completely let down and it's not anything that I thought it would be. So I recommend going out there, kind of getting the vibe for it and then being like, hey, do you need a teacher? But also, I mean, if you're more of a structured person, which I'm completely not, I recommend maybe like looking around and being like, okay, this place seems more retreat style. I'd like to volunteer here. Or if you want to teach at a hostel on the beach, like at least maybe kind of get your vibe on what, where you want to be, what you want to teach, what you want your clientele to be. If you want like older people, old retirees, maybe look at more retreat style. If you want like a younger, more exciting vibe, look at hostels. If you want somewhere in between, you know, like
hotels. So get intentional, figure out.
Yeah. Just kind of at least put your feelers out for the energy you kind of want, I'd say. And then once you get out there, just start bopping around.
Oh my gosh, I almost forgot to ask you. What have you overheard at yoga? I totally forgot the name of this podcast. I did this on one of the other episodes. They're like, don't you need to wrap this up and ask me something? Lindsay, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh my gosh. So like I told you before, this is a really tough question, actually. I had to really rack my brain for this one. But one time I was out in Missoula, Montana, and I was hopping around at the yoga studios, and I think it was this lady's first time at yoga, but she was so concerned about the way she smelt. I remember her, like, we had sat down on her mat and I was right next to her and she kept asking me, like, do I smell okay? And I was like, should you not be smelling okay? Like, we haven't even started the class. What? And I was so like, what's going on? And I was like, yeah, you smell fine. I wasn't going to like sniff her.
Is she high and she smells like weed?
Something was sketched out in her brain. But, we went through the class.
You didn't even know her.
I didn't even know her. It was just one of those, like, before class, we, like, chatted, and she's like, do I smell okay? Do I smell okay? I was like, yeah, you smell fine. Like, I don't smell anything, girl. Like, even if she smelled bad, I probably wouldn't have told her, to be honest, because I'm like, we're about to sweat it out, so don't trip. But we went through the whole entire class, and then she asked me again at the end. Is it still okay? I was like, girl, I smell bad too at this point.
Is she trying to like tell you that you smell bad without telling you that?
Maybe. I didn't even think about that. Probably. I feel like I always smell the worst, but I'm like, you know what? Everyone smells the worst. We're sweating out so many toxins and everything right now.
All the garlic and butter and everything. Alcohol is coming out. All that low vibrational shit. That's why we do hot yoga, bitches.
Exactly. To get it all out. But yeah, it was just a really interesting little over here. And I guess
I've never
what I heard.
Yeah.
She was so so that's a new one for me. Self-conscious. But that's why I maybe thought it was like her first time at yoga. Because I think she just wasn't expecting what she was like about to smell like, or if she should smell a certain way, or
maybe she's got some other stuff going on, like OCD, you know? Or I don't
no
know.
No questions asked. I was just there to comfort her. I was like, don't you worry.
Okay, stranger, I don't even know you, but okay.
You're fine, girl. You smell great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay, so you have a class coming up on July 2nd. Let's plug you. Tell me about what's coming up for you.
So, yes, it's a little outdoor event happening close to the Green Belt on July 2nd. It's where all the food trucks are.
Green Acres.
Thank you. I was racking my brain. I was like,
what is that? Like 14th and Shoreline off the Green Belt. It's kind of by the post office.
Yes, it's right by there. Little food trucks. They have mimosas, brunch, and then in the evenings they have the alcoholic beverages. But every Saturday morning, I actually need to double check with her on this because she said every Saturday morning.
Okay.
But it's July 2nd, which is a Friday morning. But I'm really feeling like it's supposed to be on a Saturday morning.
Oh,
so gonna double check.
We'll
on
put
that
in the show notes. Absolutely. So I'll tell you when she's teaching.
Yeah, thanks, guys. thanks for the patience there. But yeah, it's a little outdoor event. So I go and I teach yoga in the morning, and then right after, you're more than welcome to have some mimosas and brunch and enjoy the sunshine.
Does it cost anything to take your yoga class?
No. It's just encourage donations.
Oh, okay.
If you want, yeah, and then of course the brunch costs, but. Yeah, just come stretch and enjoy the sunshine outdoors. And
what style of yoga do you
teaching? I like to teach a strong vinyasa flow.
A strong vinyasa flow. Oh, my God.
I've tried to do the slow flows, and it's just not a thing for me. But it's for all levels. I just like to engage the fire inside and heat things
cool.
up. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on my little podcast and talking about your experiences. I'm excited for your event and what else you get into next. Thanks, Lindsay.
I appreciate it, Christina. Thank you.
Cool. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.